Hello everyone and welcome to Rad Chat, the multi-award winning first therapeutic radiopharmaceutical oncology podcast. Welcome to episode number 126. My name is Naman Jorka Anderson and I'm joined by fellow host Joe McNamara.
Hi everyone.
So a big thank you to our last guest, Dr. Alison Berner, who talked about her career, gender identity clinic work and PhD research. If you haven't had a chance yet, please do go and take a listen. So we're very pleased to introduce our guest today, Ellie Crawley, who we're discussing the sustainable fitness company FeelFit she started, and along with how to help people live better and longer. Hi, Ellie. How are you?
Hello. I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Good. Nice to see you.
Nice to see you.
Would you mind by starting and telling us about what you do every day, how you got there?
Yep. Where do I start? So I'm the founder of FeelFit, which is a sustainable activewear brand and eco-powered fitness studio based in Bristol. I'm also an online coach and we also run wellness retreats as well within the business. How did I get there? It's been a while actually. So I've been coaching roughly for about 10 years now. And I started that alongside working a full-time corporate job. So I was a national account manager looking after £8 million worth of business, I think it was at the time, and getting up, going to do PT at 6 o'clock in the morning, then going off to work at 8 o'clock, then coming back, going back to PT in the evening, then working weekends. And I soon realised that that would definitely burn me out and it wasn't sustainable. and certain different circumstances that happened just led me to go, do you know what, I'd rather follow the bit that I was enjoying and that I had the passion for. And that meant going full-time on my personal training business. So I did that in, I think it was either 2018 or 2019, can't remember which one, but before lockdown anyway. I absolutely love coaching. I've got to say, even now, like I 100% say I love my job and I love being able to help people. I love being able to help people find the confidence and the strength that I found through fitness. And so that's why I kind of made the jump from being very comfortable in a corporate job with all the benefits to, yeah, being self-employed. But over lockdown, it actually did me good, I suppose, or did the business good. So I launched the clothing range in January 2020, just before lockdown hit. Obviously wasn't expecting any of that to happen, as none of us were. But what were most people doing? Getting fit at home, lounging around in gym wear. So actually it was a great time for me. I was living in a little flat on my own at the time, and I had my whole hallway covered in boxes and IKEA built shelves with all my clothing there. And I literally would pick all my items, send them off. Amongst that, I was running online classes, keeping everybody motivated, morning mobility, literally flicked the whole business online. And then obviously when we were able to go outside, started PTing outside. But during that time, I also launched a second collection of clothes where I was actually the photographer, the model, and the editor, and then launched the clothing online. So I was set up my living room with these lights, a camera on a tripod, on a timer, jumped into the frame, took the pictures, jumped back out again. No, that's not right. Go again. It was hilarious. And I look back now and I'm like, that was the start of a quite successful company, I would say. So anyway, when lockdown kind of finished, I decided I couldn't go back to commercial gyms because I'd been building a brand myself. So I decided to open up a studio. I went on the hunt and at first it was just meant to be for me. So just enough space for me to be able to PT, have a little shop, sell the clothes out of there. I found my current location where FeelFit is based in Clifton, Bristol. And it was a lot bigger than I thought I was looking for. But you know, when you walk in somewhere and you're just like, I've got to be here. I can see it. It was literally like I walked through the door and I was just like, okay, cool. Let's take this and worry about it later. Because I'm a bit like that. I'm a bit of a risk taker. I worry about things afterwards. So I kind of made the jump. And I haven't looked back. The studio will then be 3 years old. We are 3 years old in March, which is going really well. Got 5 PTs that work for me. Whole number of very loyal members. We do community events. It's all small group, personal training, one-to-ones, 10 people in a class. And I absolutely love it. So yeah, that's kind of where it all started and where it's all going. And then we also launched the retreats second year in, which are also doing extremely well. So they are based in, they started out in just Devon. Then we moved to Devon and Bali. And now we've got Devon, Bali and Cape Town. So they're wellness retreats. They're a little bit different. In fact, everything we do is a little bit different. So it's all about being sustainable. The clothing's sustainable, the studio's eco-powered. Our wellness retreats are a bit about finding that balance. So they're not jam-packed itineraries. They are very much come away, do something new, travel with different people or travel on your own, and find that time to switch off, disconnect from everything, reevaluate what you're doing, look at moving your body maybe in a different way, a bit of mindset work, a bit of resilience work, and then while we move, we then go sit and have pizza and wine in the evening because it's all about the balance. So that's the three areas. And then also because I've got the studio, I've stepped away from in-person coaching as much. I've got the PTs that work for me there. I mentor them and I've moved some of my business online. So I've now got a reach. I go over to America, Bali, Indonesia, down to Spain with my online clients. So it's opened up a whole sort of broader network for me as a coach to be able to offer the online coaching instead. So that was like a whistle stop tour. So please ask away any questions that you might have about that because there's rather a lot in there.
Well, you sound like an absolute girl boss. So well done for everything you've achieved because you've made it sound easy, but I bet you it wasn't. And there must have been times of absolute despair or at least that kind of self-doubt. I don't know. Is that something that you ever came across?
I don't know whether it's self-doubt. I mentioned earlier, I did a podcast a couple of weeks ago, and it's not until I kind of tell these stories do I actually realise how much I do and how big things actually have got. I don't think it's self-doubt. There's always an element of worry or like stresses and stuff. But as I mentioned, I just do it. I just get on with it. I kind of take it in my stride. And I think, right, that's a good idea. Let's try that. And if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. Learn from it and move on to the next thing. I'm very lucky. I've got a great team around me. It is just me within the business. But and then obviously my guys, my coaches. I've got Paige, my brand manager. And then I've got some good support outside of that. I've got a business mentor and somebody else who helps me. But yeah, it's scary. But if your dreams don't scare you, they're not big enough. That's what I always say.
Love that. Love that. Ellie, have you always been into health and fitness? Is that something that you grew up with?
Absolutely not. No, not at all. And I'm laughing because no one knows that. So I used to absolutely hate any kind of exercise. So when I was at school, I used to avoid PE at all costs. And I actually think PE back in the day, so I'm 40 now, but PE back then was quite damaging to a lot of people, wasn't it? The outfits you have to wear and being made to do it. And I mean, I don't know anybody, unless you are massively into fitness and exercise or sports, who really enjoyed it. But I think things have changed within schools now, or I hope they have anyway. But yeah, so I used to avoid it at all costs. There wasn't things like weight training or anything like that available to me then. I got into training probably about 20 years ago. So I've always enjoyed going to the gym of some form. And then kind of dipped in and out of it. I used to run pubs. I've been in the drinks trade most of my life. So it wasn't really something that kind of I was interested in that much. I did it to kind of keep fit. And then I started training again, and I don't know that strength it gave me, the empowerment it gave me, the release it gave me, the time out from everything, from being in a busy corporate job, from like I'd moved from obviously being in the pub trade into sales, and yeah, I think it was just that escapism, time to switch off, chuck some heavy weights around, made you feel strong, walk out again, and yeah, you could take on the world, which is what I'm doing now. but yeah, it's not always been something. And I think that's why I love my job so much, because I found, I'm able to help other people find. So that confidence, I'd definitely say I'm, like, from 10 years ago, I'm 1,000,000% more confident now in my own skin, in my own abilities. So I think that training has definitely helped me across life.
Do you think those experiences from when you were young have influenced your coaching style now?
Yes, probably. So my coaching style, I'm definitely not one of these coaches that stands there and shouts at you. I mean, if you want me to shout at you, I will. But equally, I'm not like a 12-week transformation coach. I'm not a, like, you've got to be like no pain, no gain, all those kind of things. In fact, I absolutely hate some of those sayings. And I think there's a lot of, there's a lot of things within the fitness industry that don't actually do people any good, if I'm honest. I help people find the enjoyment in it. So try and make it fun. I encourage people to find something that they enjoy. So I feel I'm a true believer that fitness is a feeling, strength is a feeling. Like, so what makes you guys feel fit is going to be very different to what makes me feel fit. So that doesn't mean to say that what I do should be for everybody either. There's no blueprint. It's whatever you find the enjoyment in, whatever makes you feel that strength or strong or good about yourself. I encourage people to do more of it. So it then becomes sustainable. So then it's a longevity piece, because the more you do, the better you get, the stronger you get. It's a longevity process rather than, yeah.
Ellie, how do you achieve it? Because speaking personally, I've always been really sporty. I was that sporty girl in PE that also looked at friends who used to run off during cross country, not round the cross country route. It was literally over the sty to hide behind a hedge so that they didn't have to do the entire run. But I also lost my way when I went through university, and then I found it again. But I also think now, later on in life, after I've had cancer, when you reach like menopause age, doing ratchet stops me from exercising. How do you get that back? Because I, like, just speaking personally, I can see that I've lost my enjoyment. I know that it would be better for me to get out and do some exercise. But it is really challenging when you are working a lot, very busy, and maybe priorities aren't what they used to be.
So I think my bit of advice for that would be to start small, and to say, okay, what did you do before that you really enjoyed? So is it running? Is it lifting? Whatever it might be, swimming, cycling, whatever it is, would be to go, okay, rather than trying to put yourself under pressure and do what you did before, would be to break it down and start very simple. So if it was a run, like, you could run 10K before, just go for a 1K run. Do you know what I mean? Start really, like, basic. And if it's not that activity that you enjoy now, try something different, try something new, try a class, or try something with somebody, find a coach maybe, there's somebody that can kind of help you find something different. I've got a lot of people who have said sort of similar stuff. Like, I've got a couple of people who I coach that used to be rowers, and they liked the competitive side of things, but they hated the training and they can't go back to it. So we've looked at other things. Like I said, fitness, one type of fitness isn't for everybody. So just because I weight train doesn't mean that I push that on all of my clients. I try and help them find what they think is more suitable. Like, we've got people within the studio that want to run ultra marathons or half marathons. Got people who want to do high rocks. We've got people who want power lifters. I've got bodybuilders. So there really is something for everybody. But I think it's about finding that love again. You've got to try it. And maybe it is just something completely different to what you were doing before. And it could be, I don't know if it was solo sport or a team sport that you were doing before, maybe try the opposite, because it could be that actually that inspires you a little bit more. But yeah, start small. make a small achievable plans rather than big long-term plans.
Lots of people view exercise as a bit of a task, don't they? I think it's, as you said, if it's a small achievable task, it doesn't have to be that you run an ultramarathon or do an Ironman or High Rocks or whatever it is. How it helps you, and I suppose the mental health side is something. I mean, I've known you for 8 years, so we've known each other for a long time, but the mental health side for me is why exercise is important. If I don't, it just makes me feel rubbish. I presume that's something that you've probably noticed through your work as well.
Absolutely. So I think it's been massive for me and my mental health. I don't think I could do what I do now if I didn't have that. So for me, having a, like, so I've got a big goal this year, but having that goal and also just enjoying my training makes me a better person. It makes me a better coach. It makes me a better friend. It makes me a better boss. It helps me mentor my students and obviously my PTs that work for me. If I don't have that time where I can just completely switch off, and it can be half an hour sometimes, because like you said, busy schedules, it doesn't have to be that you're in the gym for hours on end. It can be 10 minutes sometimes, excuse me. It doesn't have to be like, yeah, endless amounts of time. But if I didn't have that time to myself, then I certainly wouldn't be where I am now, for sure. And when I first started setting up the business, it did take a back seat, if I'm honest. And I noticed that, like you say, when we're all busy, it's schedules, it's fitting it in. It wasn't as big a priority. The business was to get it going. So there was a point in, I think, halfway through year one into year two, where I wasn't training as much. And that's when I noticed my mental health dipped, because I couldn't cope with as much. So now it's a non-negotiable for me. So it's every day I'll do something for me, because I can't top other people's cups up. I can't look after other people if my cup isn't full.
And do you have any patients who are maybe going through cancer treatment, Ellie, who you've coached in the past? Do you find that they also benefit from getting through treatment, but also thinking about the lasting impact of treatments on their body, but also mentally?
I haven't got any bit at present, but I have had, and I have got a couple of members who have actually got people who currently have cancer or terminal cancer, and we talk about that quite a lot in our sessions. And I think any kind of movement is good for anybody who's going through that, whether it's treatment or whatever stage they're at, even just being outside. So it could just be as simple as sitting on a bench. Do you know what I mean? Even if it's just a small walk, depending on where you are, how you're feeling, what your capabilities are, it's small things. And I think fitness can be seen, like you said, as a task, or that you have to do, you have to get hot and sweaty, or you have to be lifting weights, or you have to be moving really quickly. Or actually, it could be a bit of yoga, it could be a bit of stretching, it could be moving in a different way, it could be dipping your toes in the sea. I mean, it could be anything. It just, like, anything that's different, that you move your body in a slightly different way, will benefit you mentally as well as physically, for sure.
So one thing as well with your social media and stuff is about body empowerment. So our patients go through some horrific surgeries, changes to their body that we obviously put them through to help try and treat their cancer. But I know, obviously, again, I've known you for a long time, but the body confidence side is important for anyone and everyone. But then how do we empower other people to not feel like they have to look like someone else?
That's a very good question. Because everybody is different, and that's their superpower, which I remind people of every single day, because it doesn't matter whether you eat the same, train the same, do exactly the same as the next person, you're never going to look like them. It doesn't matter what we do. And unfortunately, social media and all the media of any type, and magazines, newspapers, whatever it is, have these delightful images on, which are 9 times out of 10 photoshopped, that aren't particularly real. Somebody could have worked extremely hard to get there over 10 years, like it's a certain look or a certain image on within the fitness industry. Or it could be, like I said, it could be completely fake. So I remind people a lot that actually we all look different for a reason, and you can try and have that image. But actually, when somebody comes to me with an aesthetic goal, I always say to them, why? Like, what's your why? Like, why do you want to look like that? And ultimately, if it doesn't have a purpose and it's not personal and it's not possible, then we look at a different goal, because it's got to be unique. Like, why do you want to achieve something? Why do you want to have that look? Then that's obviously with somebody coming for me to PT. But I think empowering people, like, feeling confident in your own skin doesn't come easy to me. I haven't always been like I am. If you check out my social medias, I've struggled with it a lot in the past. I've worked on it a lot by looking at my own inwardly, like, about what makes me feel good. So by going to the gym and lifting weights, that makes me feel good. It makes me feel strong. And I now don't care about other people and what other people say or think or how other people look, because I'm doing it for me and it's my why. And I think there's, I think we could all do with working on like confidence, body image. It's a unique thing for the individual, and it's about a feeling. So feeling good in a bikini, for example, around a pool, or feeling good for guys taking your top off on the beach, do you know what I mean? Like, whatever it might be, it's a unique feeling. And to get there, you've got to do the work yourself. You've got to feel strong.
Ellie, how do you not get sucked into the fitness industry around kind of body image? I'm just thinking, it must be really challenging because you obviously have a business. You want to achieve in that business. You want to recruit clients. But then, as you've described, it's about being true to yourself and not falling into that. How do you manage that balance?
Because I'm a strong believer it doesn't have a look, shape or size. So when you look at somebody, so it could be that person that's on like some social media platform or a fitness magazine or whatever, they might look great, but are they actually a pillar of health? Are they actually strong? Like, they could look great just because that's who they are. That could just be their body type. And people can aspire to that, but you don't know what's behind that image for a start. They might not feel great either. So actually, some of these people who look great might not have the confidence that you think they have. And I think you can also look at somebody who you would say is overweight, but actually they're a powerlifter or a rugby player. Or, do you know what I mean? Like, they could lift heavier and they could probably run faster than me. It's like, actually, you don't know who's behind that person or what their story is or what they do. So, like I said, it doesn't have a look, shape or size to me. Like, everybody's strong and fit in their own rights. If you're doing what you love and do more of it and you're looking after your body, whatever that might be. The fitness industry has been shocking, and it's one of the reasons why I set up Feel Fit. And that's why it's called Feel Fit, because I've spoken about that feeling. Because I thought there was a gap, or I saw that there was a gap in the market, that actually clothing, the images, so if you look at my website, I use real life models. They're real people. In fact, half of them are my clients, or they work for me. I know every single person in the picture. And I've tried to make sure that that comes across with our images, is that it's just a normal body. Like, we're all athletes. If you're training, if you're running, you could just train to, I don't know, walk 5K. You're still an athlete. You're all fit and healthy in your own way, as long as you're looking after your body, obviously.
It's a unique way of looking at sustainability as well, though, isn't it? By having real life people who look like real life people in images and stuff. And it's that psychological safety that, as social media progresses, you see kids more and more nowadays seeing, because of the algorithm, they'll look at one video and then it will snowball into other videos about, I don't know, eating disorders or like unhealthy habits and things like that. And that is a concern, I suppose, for the future. So I suppose it's nice to see the sustainability side. I think social media is hard anyway. Like, it's all about what you see. It's about getting likes. That's the only real purpose of it. It doesn't matter if anyone says it's about showing, like, you know, I did this on the weekend. It's about getting likes. It's about getting noticed, but it's completely different to what it needs to be. Obviously, says the two people who run a podcast, which does a lot of social media, and same with you, Ellie, who has like 13,000-ish followers. But there's a reason behind it. Is it's like, that's the business element. It's what you need to do, is how you get out there. But yeah, it's just, it's interesting when it comes to fitness and mental health, how the younger generation are going to be in the future.
So I think that is an interesting point. And I think what I've seen a lot of in gyms recently is that there are a lot more younger people coming through. And they're also, I'm a powerlifting coach, and I've got several ladies who are competing and have done this year already. And the university powerlifting groups are massive. It's huge, which is great to see. So there's a lot more younger people coming through in the fitness industry. But I think there is that danger, isn't there, of what you see on the internet is real, what you read is real, and you can get a fitness influencer that tells you that this is what I eat in a day. Do this and you're going to look like this. And it's like, it's a load of rubbish. I was going to swear then, and I didn't think I should. But it's a load of rubbish. And it's quite frustrating as a fitness professional that has invested a lot of time, money in my education. I've been studying for years. Naman, you'll know that. Like, I do something every year. And if it's not every year, it's because it's taken me 3 or 4 years. So like my nutrition course and stuff, it's, I mean, I've invested a lot into it so that I'm able to be the best coach I can be. And then you get a fitness influencer on social media going, here, do this, and this is going to get you glutes or a big bum, or, do I mean, and this is what I eat and you should follow this. And it is really dangerous. And what's surprising is I work with a lady who works within like the eating disorders, and she says there's more and more younger people coming through, which is actually quite scary. So it's not great for the mental health side of things, for sure. So I think if you are on social media, if you're listening to this and you are on social media and you look at somebody and you think, okay, that's a plan and that's what I should do, do your research. Are they actually educating you properly? Do they actually know what they're talking about? That's my biggest bit of advice on social media. Have a look at their background. Is it just a fitness influencer, or is it somebody who's actually studies and knows what they're talking about?
Hi everyone. So we wouldn't be able to do what we do without some sponsorship and help from some amazing people. So we've just got a short advert here coming up, just so that you can hear some of the products from one of the sponsors that have supported us right from the start.
We have an incredibly exciting time at OSL at the moment, with new products within our portfolio coming to the market. One new product is ClearSight Bolus, completely translucent, semi-adhesive and compatible with surface-guided radiotherapy solutions. Another product is the IBA Microwave Proactive System, the only commercial prospective risk management solution for radiation oncology. You'll find much more information about this on our website. If you would like to browse our products, please go to our website at www.osl.uk.com, or if you would like to speak to us, please call 01743 462 694.
So, Ellie, something that I do quite a lot of is education around prehabilitation and rehabilitation for cancer patients. And so nutrition, mental health, and also physical activity features really heavily. One thing I know is that as healthcare professionals, many feel nervous about advising patients because they feel hypocritical, not because they don't know how to be healthy, how to, you know, increase physical activity, but they themselves may be drinking more than the recommended number of units per week, or you know, they may know that they're not doing the amount of, you know, normal recommended amount of physical activity, even let alone if you are a cancer patient. So what could you do, Ellie, to entice the workforce to maybe start thinking about being better to themselves, being kinder to themselves, and putting themselves as a priority?
So as I said earlier, you've got to top up your own cup before you can look after other people. And I fully understand, as a business owner, a very busy lady, like how hard that is to fit in when you've got shifts that you're working and you're super busy and they go over, you're understaffed. I mean, there's family life, there's all the other things that go on. But I would say it's definitely something that you should focus on. Be realistic, like be realistic with what you can actually do. So again, don't think that you've got to go out for a 10K run if you can't even fit in a 5K run. Like break it down into smaller sections. You don't have to be in the gym for hours, so it could just be half an hour, 20 minutes, half an hour is enough. Something you can do at home. So yeah, make realistic plans, but plan it. And that's the biggest thing, is in my calendar, I have it all blocked out. So that means nobody can put anything in my diary. I know that that's when I'm going and that's what I'm doing. So I'm super organized with it. So block that time out for yourself. And if it means getting up 10 minutes, 15 minutes early to go, even if it's a case of you walk to work, like go the longer route, if it's dry or if you cycle. Then yeah, go a longer route so that you get that extra bit in. So you're adding a little bit on for yourself. Wake up a little bit earlier each morning. I've recently started, and I have no idea why, doing my cardio in the morning. So I now get up at around 4:30, 5 o'clock to get my cardio in before I start work. and then I'll train again in the afternoon. So I actually have two sections in the day where I get it done, if I'm training as well as doing my cardio. But that, and actually what I found is, whilst that sounds absolutely horrific, getting up at that time, and nobody should be setting an alarm for 4:30 unless you're going on holiday, but I actually find I feel a million times better once I hit work and once I get into it. Like, I've had that time out to myself. I've done my cardio. I know that I've achieved something or put something towards my goal. And it really does set me up for the day. So having that time in the morning, and I never used to be a morning person, but having that time in the morning to myself really does set me up better for the day. And then in terms of like nutrition and things, like, I know how busy you guys are. I work with a couple of nurses. And so in healthcare professions, it's, I mean, you're on your feet, you don't necessarily get loads of breaks. Again, be prepared. If it's not a meal that you're able to drink, have a shake that's packed full of everything you need, carbs, fats, proteins. Have it so you can have it on the go. I mean, it's not ideal, but equally, again, if you're not fueling your body correctly, then you'll burn out pretty quickly and you'll get to the afternoon or evening or whatever it is in your shift and you'll be KO'ing and you're not going to be any good for anybody. So being prepared, break it down and keep it simple. It doesn't need to be difficult. It doesn't need to be over the top. So yeah, they're my little bits of advice.
Ellie, what time do you go to bed?
I knew you were going to ask that. Everybody asks me that. 9, 10. I like to try to be 9, but it doesn't always happen like that because I do actually work till 8 some nights and then I'm back up. 9, 10 o'clock. I'll probably be asleep by 11 because my head doesn't switch off. I'll go to bed and I'm like, ooh, let's do that. No, Ellie, not at 10 o'clock at night. So, yeah.
I think you touched on some really good points around kind of personalising care, I guess. Like when I went to the GP the first time about mental health and I said, oh, well, exercise helps. I remember the GP was just like, oh, yeah, well, if you just go for a walk every now and then, that'll help with your mental health. I was like, I think it would, but that's not really me. Obviously, it's kind of snowballed from that point in 2020 to doing an Ironman, so I wouldn't suggest that for everyone. But it is about actually knowing the person in front of you. And same goes for if you're a manager is, if you have someone who you're looking after, mentoring or like a junior member of staff and they're struggling and they, you know, we want to help them. It's not just saying, I'll go for a walk, like find out exactly as you said, like what is it they actually like? I think it's really underrated, maybe just talking to someone and asking them about their personality. But I know people like to spread kind of their personal and professional kind of element when it comes to mentoring and work. But I think it's really valuable. It's really important.
I think definitely making it personal. So all of the people I teach, whether it's in person or online, and in fact, sometimes if it's an in-person session, they walk through the door and I can see straight away, I'm like, right, we're going for a walk. We're not going to lift any weights. We're not going to sit on a spin bike. We're not going to do anything. We're going to go for a walk because you can literally see that they're not in the right mindset to lift anything. And it actually, what they need to do is just get out and get fresh air and actually talk through things. It could be that they haven't had any sleep the night before, kids kept them up, work stressful, they haven't eaten, they haven't hydrated enough. So I think there's a lot to be said with actually reading people and, like I said, making it personal for sure. Like I said earlier, there's no blueprint. There's not one plan that fits all. Like personalise it, take it, yeah. Break it down, keep it simple.
What's next for you at the business, Ellie? I'm excited to know as well.
Oh, I have quite a lot planned, as always. So this year's quite a busy year for PhilFit, the clothing and the studios and the retreats, actually. So we've got the Yorkshire Three Peaks. So last year we did the National Three Peaks. This year we've got the Yorkshire Three Peaks. Then we've got Cape Town Retreat. And then we've got Devon and Bali. But we've also got a Valley Fest, which is a local festival in Chew Valley. We're actually doing a lot more this year than we did last year. It's really exciting. So keep an eye out on socials for that. It's a lot, but it's going to be great. And then in terms of the business, site number 2, which will be very soon. Not going to say too much, but it's going to be by the end of the year. And then personally, I will be entering, or I have entered, a bodybuilding competition, and I'll be stepping on stage for the first time in August, which has been a dream of mine for a very long time. And I've decided that this is my year to do it.
Can I ask then, for bodybuilding, why does everyone look so orange?
They wear a ridiculous amount of tan. You have to have two. So you have a base tan that you're not allowed to wash off, and then you go back the next day for a top-up, and you get a glaze like a donut. So you get a glaze as well. But basically, the reason for it is so that when you're up on stage, you can see the muscle definitions. So they're looking, depending on what category you're in, they're looking for a certain like look, size, shape, symmetry. You can see the serrations of the muscles when you're under lights and on stage.
So even like me with brown skin, would I have to put fake tan on?
Yes.
Oh. This is why I don't want to
glaze
do it.
Glaze like a donut. Glaze like a donut.
Yeah, I didn't say that. I should have said glaze like a donut. That's obviously what wins it over for me. That's what I want to do.
For sure. It's quite an interesting process, though. I'm enjoying it. So I'm currently in my build phase. Been building for 25, 26 weeks, which means I eat a ridiculous amount of food and train a lot. But I'm enjoying it. I'm enjoying seeing the progress and the changes. And I think for me, it's more about that discipline, but also what can my body achieve while also being a 40-year-old woman running multiple businesses.
I've got a friend, actually, who is a bodybuilder, and just the amount of dedication, you know, that shredding bit where she was really kind of reducing the amount of calories she was taking in just to get kind of on weight, ready for the show, is just at, like, my hat goes off to anyone who has the determination to do that, because it is next level. It is really competing, isn't it? It's, you know, it's not even just, oh yeah, I want to be really fit and healthy and I'll go on stage and show off my efforts. No, it is actual competition. It is crazy. So good luck,
Thank
Ellie.
You very much.
Let's hope you come back with a medal for all your hard work and determination.
We'll see.
Ellie, we always end our podcast with top tips. You've given loads and loads and loads throughout. I suppose the only thing might be that for anyone listening, I know you said there's no blueprint, but how can people find their why, whether it's about exercise or themselves or their mental health?
So I think the biggest bit of advice I can give around that is by talking to someone, get a coach. I've got two. I've got a fitness coach and I've got a business mentor as well. And I think, like, being able to break down your goals. So a goal could seem, so for example, the bodybuilding competition that I'm going to be doing, like, that's a very long process. I've actually started this process January last year. And if you'd have said to me back then, don't mean all the things that you have to go through, like, it's too much, right? So break it down into small bite-sized chunks that you can do daily. It's one thing I talk to all of my clients about, is just set yourself three things a day, or even five things, between three and five things. If you said that you've got a list of 70 things to do, that would be ridiculous, right? There's too many things to think about, and you go, oh, I can't cope with all that. That's far too many things to think about. But if you break it down daily, if you do five things every day, that's 35 by the end of the week. And actually, that seems a lot more achievable. So break down the goals from that big long-term goal into small bite-sized chunks daily. Get a coach that can help you and help educate you and show you what you need to do. You don't necessarily need to keep doing it the whole way if you don't want to. But yeah, and they'll keep you accountable. So I check in with my coach daily. I check in with most of my guys daily. I get them to check in with me, tell me how their mindset is. What is it you're feeling today? Are you feeling good? If you're not, how can we change that? Could be doing affirmations. It could be, adding in that extra 10 minutes, 15 minutes a day. But as I said throughout it, keep it simple, break it down, make it personal. You've got to really look, like, why am I doing it? I'm doing my goal because I've said to myself that I've grown this business, I've built this business. It's in a place now where I can actually focus my time on me. I never actually thought of, and we're going off on a massive tangent here, so sorry, but I never actually thought I was worthy of my own time. I'm a giver and I will do anything for anyone. Now, man, as you know, you've known me for a long time. Like, I always invest my time in everybody else. And this year I've said no. Like, I'm worthy of my own time. I'm worthy of that time I give everybody else. And it took me a long time to get there and realise that. But I think it's through helping so many other people and having that my coach that's sort of shown me that. So, yeah, talk to someone.
Thank you. And thanks for being so honest. I think there's a lot of people who will listen to that and it will really resonate with them, hopefully. If not, they'll be getting donuts and getting fake tan and stuff like that. They'll take something away from it.
Well, I hope I haven't rambled too much and got my point across anyway.
Yeah, you definitely did. Thank you so much for coming on. So yeah, it's been great.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you everyone for listening to Rad Chat. So your hosts today have been Namanjoke Anderson and Joe McNamara. If you're utilising this podcast for CPD purposes, please consider the reflective questions posted along with the links to resources and literature we've discussed. To receive your accredited CPD certificate, please complete the Google form linked with the podcast. So our next guest to feature will be Louise Codd, who will be discussing her doctorate research looking at experiences of ethnically diverse students in therapeutic radiography undergraduate education. Thank you for listening and take care.